Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Colbún fourth quarter 2020 earnings call. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. It is now my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Sebastián Moraga. Sir, the floor is yours.
Hello to everyone, and welcome to Colbún's fourth quarter 2020 earnings review call. My name is Sebastián Moraga. I am this company's CFO, and joining me today are Miguel Alarcón, our Deputy CFO, and Soledad Errázuriz and Isidora Zaldívar from our investor relations team. I hope that you have received our earnings report and an earnings review presentation that we have prepared to complement the analysis of our figures. Otherwise, you can download them at the investor section of our website. Our agenda for today on slide three is as follows. We will begin talking about the highlights of this year, then to analyze in details this year's results, and after that, we will provide an update on our growth opportunities. Following the presentation, there will be time to participate in a Q&A session. Now, please go to slide number four and five to review the highlights of this year. Regarding the COVID-19 pandemic contingency, and as we have been informing the last quarters, the company's overall operations, and specifically its power plants, keep operating normally, taking into consideration the protection and health of our personnel, suppliers, and our surrounding communities. Regarding the impact of COVID-19 on energy demand, it is worth mentioning that in Chile, it increased approximately 1.6% during the fourth quarter of 2020 compared to last year, and 0.4% during 2020 compared to 2019. While in Peru, there was a decrease of approximately 0.3% in the last quarter and 7% during the whole year 2020. During 2020, Colbún continued participating in various energy bidding processes. This year, new energy contracts were signed with 52 clients for almost 700 GWh. Among the main contracts signed are the renewal of energy supply agreements with Walmart, Sonda, Grupo Camanchaca, and Concha y Toro Winery. On March, Colbún issued a new bond series in international markets for $500 million with a 10-year maturity, obtaining a 3.3% yield. Of the obtained funds, $343 million were used to partially refinance the $500 million bond of the same type that matured in 2024. On June 2020, the board of directors approved the construction of two PV projects. First, Diego de Almagro Sur 1 and 2, for 230 MW of installed capacity, located in the Atacama region. Construction started on the third quarter of last year, and the commissioning is estimated for the first quarter of 2022. Total investment approved for this project is $147 million. Second, Machicura of 9 MW, which is located in the Maule region. Construction started in the third quarter of last year, and the commissioning is estimated for the third quarter of this year. Total investment approved for this project is $7 million. In September of this year, Colbún announced the acquisition of Efizity, a company focused on energy solutions in the national market, with the purpose of enhancing the company's value proposition by incorporating solutions related to energy management. Today, Efizity holds a diversified client portfolio in the industrial, mining, real estate, retail, educational, hospitality, and health sectors, among others. During the third quarter, Colbún was selected to list in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index Chile for the fifth consecutive year, and for the fourth year in the Dow Jones Pacific Alliance ranking. In addition, the company led to the Informa Report ranking, standing out as the company that best reports information to the market. Regarding the company's transmission assets, in September, the board of directors agreed to carry out a process that involves the invitation of actors with experience in power, infrastructure, and financial transmission industries in order to explore their interests and the conditions in which its possible participation could be agreed either as a strategic partner, acquiring a majority position, or acquiring all the shares of its subsidiary Colbún's Transmisión. To date, the mentioned process continues to progress in accordance with the timeline estimated by the company. On January 21st of this year, Colbún reached an agreement with Goldman Sachs, pursuant to which the company will gradually sell the accounts receivables generated by the tariff stabilization mechanism under the law number 21185 for a total amount of approximately $95 million. Additionally, Colbún also reached an agreement with the IDB Bank pursuant to incorporate the mentioned institution in the financing of the acquisition for $42 million of the aforementioned accounts receivable. Now please go to slide number 6 to review the main consolidated figures of the company. Consolidated EBITDA for this year reached $683 million, decreasing 2% compared to the $697 million in 2019. Mainly explained by the lower operating income recorded during the period, which was offset mainly due to the lower gas consumption in Chile. Controller's profit reached $163 million compared with the $203 million profits in 2019, mainly explained by an accounting record of an impairment provision at Fenix subsidiary in Peru for a net of deferred taxes amount of $127 million. This was to reflect the lower recoverable amount compared to the asset's book value due to the lower marginal costs and energy prices observed during the last years, driven by lower than expected growth rates, explained by a slowdown in economic activity, delays in regulatory matters, and exogenous events such as political and natural disasters. This condition intensified during 2020, as a result of the COVID-19 impact, resulting in a 7% decrease in energy demand compared to the year 2019. This has deepened an oversupply situation in the energy market, and it is likely that restoring the balance between supply and demand will take more time than previously considered. It is worth mentioning that considering Colbún's share in Fenix of 51%, the impact of the mentioned provision on the profits attributable to the owners of the parent company amounts to $65 million. Financial investments totalized $967 million, and our net debt to EBITDA ratio is at 1.2 times. The average long-term financial debt interest rate in U.S. dollars is 4%. Colbún has a total installed capacity of 3,800 megawatts, comprised of almost 2,200 megawatts in thermal units, 1,600 in hydro units, and 9 megas from one PV unit. In terms of transmission assets, it owns almost 900 kilometers of transmission lines and 27 substations. Now, I will turn to Isidora, who will speak about the main drivers of 2020 results.
Thank you, Sebastian, and hello to everyone. Now, please continue to slide 8 for physical sales and generation balance analysis in Chile. Total generation of the period increased 1% compared to 2019, reaching 12.1 terawatt hours, mainly explained by higher hydro generation as a result of improved hydrological conditions and to a higher coal generation, mainly due to an availability of Santa Maria thermoelectric power plant during last year. These effects were partially offset by a lower gas and wind generation. Physical sales during 2020 reached 12.0 terawatt hours, 1% lower than last year, due to lower sales to regulated clients, mainly explained by 1, the expiration of the contract with Saesa, and 2, a lower energy demand driven by the state of emergency. These effects were partially offset by higher sales to unregulated clients and to the spot market. Spot market balance during this year recorded net sales for 1.5 terawatt hour, increasing 81% compared to 2019, mainly explained by the higher generation of the year. Now, please continue to slide 9 to analyze the EBITDA from the generation business in Chile for the year. EBITDA of the generation business in Chile reached $551 million in 2020, in line with the EBITDA recorded as of December 2019. Now, please continue to slide 10 to analyze the EBITDA from the transmission business for this year. EBITDA of the transmission business reached $67 million this year, decreasing 7% compared to the $72 million EBITDA recorded last year, driven by the lower income recorded compared to last year, mainly explained by one, the change in the discount rate that began to apply as of January 20, which changed from 10% before taxes to 7% after taxes, and two, the reclassification of some zonal assets announced by the regulator. Now, please continue to slide 11 for physical sales and generation balance analysis in Peru. Total generation of the period decreased 23% compared to 2019, reaching 2.9 terawatt hour, due to one, the COES request to stop operating during part of the second and third quarter, and two, the GT12 gas turbine repair and its maintenance performed during the first and the third quarter of this year. Physical sales during 2020 reached 3.3 terawatt hour, decreasing 17% compared to last year. The decrease is mainly explained by one, lower physical sales to customers under contract, explained by the state of emergency decreed by the Peruvian government due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and two, lower sales to the spot market due to the lower generation during the year, driven by the COES request to stop operating during part of the second and third quarter, and two, the GT12 gas turbine repair and the maintenance performance during the first and third quarter of this year. Spot market balance during 2020 recorded net sales of 307 gigawatt hour, compared to the net sales of 756 gigawatt hour during last year due to the lower generation of the period. Now, please continue to slide 12 to analyze the EBITDA in the Peru for this year. EBITDA in Peru reached $65 million, 7% lower than the $70 million recorded last year, mainly explained by the lower operated income recorded during the year, considering that last year included a non-recurring income of $6 million. This was partially offset by lower raw materials and consumables used cost. Now, please continue to slide 13 for the consolidated net operating income and net income analysis. Non-operating income in 2020 presented losses of $304 million, higher than the losses of $176 million last year. The higher losses are mainly explained by one, an accounting record of an impairment provision at Phoenix previously explained, and two, the lower financial income earned, driven by the lower investment rate of cash surpluses at local and international level. The company recorded in 2020 a controller's profit of $163 million, 20% lower than the $203 million profit of last year. The lower profit is mainly explained by the impairment provision at Phoenix, previously explained. Now, continuing with this conference call, please go to slide number 15, where Sebastián will give you an update on the status of growth opportunities.
Thank you, Isidora. Regarding our growth opportunities in Chile, we have focused our growth in renewables, solar, wind, and hydro, based on three pillars. First, developing a pipeline of projects. Regarding the incorporation of renewables energy from variable sources, up to this date, Colbún has been able to complete a portfolio of locations for wind and solar projects, which are in different stages of studies and development. Horizonte, a wind farm of 607 megawatts located in the Atacama region. Diego de Almagro Sur 1 and 2, which are PV projects of an overall capacity of 230 megas located in the Atacama region. Machicura, the PV project of 9 megas located in the Maule region. Intipacha, a PV project of 486 mega located in the Antofagasta region. Jardín Solar, a PV project of 537 megas located in the Tarapacá region. Los Junquillos, a wind farm of 265 megas located in the Biobío region. Additionally, at the end of quarter, Colbún holds a portfolio of locations for their wind and solar projects, which are in early stages of development. For more details on this slide, you can refer to the latest earnings reports available at our website. Second, the company does not rule out the purchase of renewable assets in operation. Finally, the third pillar of our growth in renewables is acquiring energy from third parties. Regarding our transmission business, Colbún has several projects for the expansion and enhancement of the company's current transmission assets, with a total awarded investment value of approximately $84 million. In terms of our international expansion strategy, as we have mentioned before, we continue searching for growth opportunities in selected countries of the region in order to maintain a leading position in the power generation business and to diversify our sources of income. This concludes Colbún's fourth quarter of 2020 results review. Thanks for listening, and now we are open to answer your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open for questions. If you have any questions or comments, please press star 1 on your phone at this time. We ask that while posing your question, you please pick up your handset if listening on speakerphone to provide optimum sound quality. Once again, if you have any questions or comments, please press star 1 on your phone now. Please hold a moment while we poll for questions. We have no questions in the queue at this time. We do have a question coming from Thomas Lehmans. Please announce your affiliation, then pose your question.
Hi, everyone. This is Thomas from Barings. I wanted to ask about the impairment on Phoenix. Just trying to understand if the implicit support that you give Phoenix will change given this impairment that you did.
Hi, Thomas. Miguel. How are you?
Hi.
So we don't expect any change in the support we're providing from Colbún or the other shareholders to Phoenix because of the impairment. As I'm sure you know, the impairment is basically an accounting issue due to IFRS 36, in which you have to run a test, and because of the test and the difference between the carrying value on a DCF calculation, that leads to a potential impairment. But again, we don't expect any changes in the support we've been showing so far to that affiliate company.
That's great, thanks. And can you also remind me what's the credit line that you have given to Phoenix and for how many years of the debt service is it
It's a cash support agreement that basically covers a three-year period of debt payments, capital and interest. In the, let's say, the approximate amount, it's close to $110 million in total.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or comments, please press star 1 on your phone at this time. We currently have no questions in the queue. Thank you. Do you have any closing comments you'd like to finish with?
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Sebastián Moraga. So if there are no further questions, I would like to thank everyone for joining this conference call. And we hope to see everyone again in the next quarter review. So again, thanks. And for those who are going out on vacation, especially in Chile, I wish you all very happy holidays. So goodbye, everyone. Take care.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's conference call. You may disconnect your phone lines at this time and have a wonderful day. Thank you for your participation.